Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture tonight is coming from Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4. Shall we read? We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received is just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was the first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed among, according to his will. Warning to pay attention, sisters and brothers. The word that you're hearing is not just for you to hear, but it's for you to live by, to learn from, to share with others, to make a difference in your life. You should not constantly be hearing the word, reading the word, and not doing anything about it. You've got to pay more careful attention, therefore, to what you are hearing so that you can follow through the footsteps of doing the word of God, the works of God, around the world, in your family. It starts with the word. Well, good afternoon. We're ready for another one. Well, good late evening, let's even say. We're ready for another session tonight. It's always great to be on the broadcast with you, and I'm glad that you were able to tune in tonight. So God bless you. God bless your family and every situation that you may have. We lift it up in the name of the Lord right now. Can you just take a moment and whatever it is that you want to pray about, whoever it is that you want to pray for, even those secret things that you haven't told anyone about, this is your time to just join and just connect our spirits wherever you're at around the world. Let's just connect our spirits together right now in prayer, shall we? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Spirit, we come humbly bowing down our heads. We're lifting up our hearts in thanksgiving. And with supplication of thanksgiving, we're just bringing our requests to you, Jesus. Dear Father, first we just request that you just accept this day that you've given to us. We just anoint it, your anointing. We just receive it and we just give this day back to you to have as you would want us to live it. Dear Father, this night, whatever it is that you would want us to say to those that are around us. I know some are saying that this night is almost over, dear Father, but it's so much in this night that you still have for us. We ask you to open up our hearts and our minds as we surrender our spirits to you, dear Father. Connect with our spirits, dear Father, and meet the needs of your people all around the world, dear Father. Hallelujah. And we will not just hear the word, but may we just take the word and be doers of your good word, making differences in our lives. There's situations out here tonight, dear Father, that people need you, Jesus, and they're calling on your name. And someone is really just waiting, dear Father. They don't know which way to turn. And they're waiting. And I know according to your word, you said that you would never leave them and never forsake them. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for being there. Thank you for going on and giving them comfort right now. Right now, I feel them, dear Father, that's been lifted up as you touch in their situation just to remind them that you're still there. And I thank you for that, Jesus. Someone is sick right now, dear Father. Someone is sick and they're afraid. They're very afraid, dear Father. And they may haven't even told anyone in their family about what's going on. I feel like they're very afraid. But I thank you, Lord Jesus. I call out that sickness before you and I lay it before you, Jesus. Have as you would have it to be healed, however you want to heal it. Do your will in the sickness, dear Father, right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, dear Father, every person that is listening to the broadcast right now, they may be calling out someone's name. whatever situation that they came tonight to hand over to you, Jesus. I agree with their spirit, dear Father, and I pray with them as we lay it down at the altar to be picked up no more by us. We're not going to worry about it. We're speaking about, you're teaching us right now the cure for wearing them. So we're not going to worry about those things. We're not going to worry about those things. We ask blessings over JD, dear Father. Dear Father and his family, dear Father, each and every one of them, one by one, by one, by one. On their jobs, as they travel in their homes, in their cars. Dear Father, at their schools, just keep your mighty hand of protection around them. And bring them home safely, dear Father, to each other. And, dear Father, if it's your will, I ask you to bring them closer to immediate family. Find their roots and look closer to us, dear Father. You know our heart's desires, and that's just my mother's desire for him to get a little closer. Independence is one thing, but just being a little closer. Just being a little closer. That's not just my prayer tonight. That's some other mother's prayer right now tonight. Some of the fathers just desiring the son to be a little closer. Just a little closer, Jesus. Just a little closer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask you to forgive us for our sins, dear Father. And forgive those that sin against us, dear Father. Give us a forgiving heart, forgiving spirit. And, dear Father, I ask you to bless my team at work, dear Father. Bless each individual person. Look inside of their hearts, and I don't care what strong face they put on at work, but look inside of the tenderness of their heart, that tender face that's right there that they're trying so hard to be tough and cover up, but look inside of each and every one of them, dear Father, from the top to the bottom, and bless their children, bless decisions that have been made in their homes, dear Father. I ask you to bless Josie and her family. May her husband find a job, dear Father, and may it not be a long waiting period. Bless Jesse and his family, dear Father, as they make decisions on moving and different things that pertain to schools. And I just bless them, Jesus. Open up the doors and just shower down blessings on them. Let it be a blessing that they would have to just holler out that I knew it was you, Jesus, that blessed me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I ask you to go and bless Letty and bless LaShonda and bless Dina, dear Father. Bless Angelica and bless Alejandro and Jessica Johnson and Jessica V. I want to just bless them, Jesus. Bless Jesus and bless Danny, dear Father. Dear Father, I ask you to bless Frank and bless Jennifer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless Renee and bless Jasmine, Crystal. Bless them all, each one by one. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I ask blessings over myself, dear Father. Give me strength when I'm weak and build me up when I'm all torn down. Dear Father, may the words of your words, may they continue to be in my heart that come out of my mouth that blesses someone. Blesses someone. I ask you to bless Robin, dear Father. May it bless someone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we truly thank you. We truly thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're continuing our study tonight as God is teaching us the cure for our wearing. We went over a lot of different facets of our wearing last night, identifying it, bringing it to the surface. And we're going to continue to move on. And right before I do, I just feel like that I should give you the scripture of Hebrew 13, and that is Hebrew 13 and 5. And it's just actually talking about the verse that we stand on here at the ministry. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Again, that is Hebrews 13 and at the bottom of 5. Someone is needing that, and praise the Lord. There it is for you. There it is, and God has heard your request that you needed that. There it is for you. Praise be the name of the Lord. He's here. Always, always, and always there. Well, as we get started, and we were talking about last evening just about fear itself, and fear is just turns into the worrying, and how we really can't do any prosperous while we're in fear, and we look at each other, and it gets to the point where we can't trust anybody because we're living in fear, and that fear can turn into hatred, and that hatred can separate us from our loved ones and even from our jobs, and it can just separate us from the word eventually because we don't trust anyone or anything. And so when the word has been preached to us, and then we have a fear about that because we're so used and accustomed to being in doubt that we never know when we can just relax and just believe the word of God. So anything and anywhere just starts to come to our ears now, it's just some just babble. We just don't even have time to even really consider it because we get so wrapped up in our fear. It's a real thing. It's so real that this fear and worry can lead into different illnesses. Your organs start to react to the way that the fear is attacking it. So been many studies said that most stomach issues generate from just worry, just stress built up on you. And we talked about also that some of our worries indicate that we just don't trust God enough to handle our situations. And I know that's a big thing, and you're saying, no, that's not my case, but if we become completely honest and just remove all of the top layers of the stuff that you're hiding behind and just be completely open and honest with yourself, we do not leave everything in God's hand. And if you truly believe that you would leave it all in God's hand, we said a famous writer once quoted that you never need lift a finger to defend yourself unless you're not sure that God can handle the matter. And so many times we're the one who's lifting all of our, not just fingers, but our hands, trying to defend ourselves, and which again would indicate, according to this quote, that we are not sure that God is going to be able to handle the matter, so we're lifting that finger to defend our own selves. And we don't believe that when he says that the battle is his, that he knows how to handle the battle that you're in. So instead, we choose to carry that load up on our back, and we run with it. And so our worries, again, indicate that we just do not think that God is big enough to handle the problem without our help. Without our help, we may go to him in prayer, but we still get up carrying it because we just think that, you know, it's just another person I've went to and told the problem to, but now together we're going to do this thing. We're going to work it out, a solution. So such worry, it does, we spoke of it, the dishonorment that it does to God. It dishonors the Lord. It belittles our God. And it puts doubt in the ones that are watching you. It puts doubt in the word of God, because they're saying that you're saying the word, you're singing the word, you tell me the word, you're preaching the word, but you're not living by the word. So it puts doubt in the word. Another quote that was actually wrote, it was about two little birds, and just to take a moment and listen, hear me out, okay? It says, a robin and a sparrow was looking down from high, and it was checking out the movements of humans. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow in reply to the robin, friend, I think it might be that they have no Heavenly Father such as we do that to care for them. Because see, It would appear that we don't have that same Heavenly Father that they do. It would appear that, you know, the peacefulness that they can have and the chirping that they have and never to worry about food to eat or where they're going to lay their head, but it would appear just from the outside looking in that we're not blessed with those same blessings. We don't have the same creator because we're always trying to take it up on ourselves. And it's just as if you are going into the airport and, you know, most of us try to fly as light as we can. We try to take a carry-on and let it be, right? But it's like you're going into the airport and you've got four heavy, the biggest suitcases that you can find, and they don't have rollers. You're actually carrying them, and you're carrying them with you all through from the beginning point all through until you get onto that flight. And so you can imagine the stress and the worry and the sweating and the pounding of your heart that would be going on if you're taking all of this luggage. Well, in actuality, that is a prime example of what we're actually doing when we do not leave our worries and our cares at the altar. We get up, and every day it is more stuff that can be weighing us down, and we never, ever take off that weight suit. However, we just continue to just carry it and load on more and more and more and more and a little bit more, and then we meet somebody, and we got all this baggage. And then they have their baggage. And then they fall in love with you, and then they fall in love then with your baggage, whether they want to or not. You got to share some of it, and then you're sharing theirs. And before you know it, that's when all of the abuse starts, or it may lead to divorce, or you may pass it down to children, and it just continues on to one of you give out. It may be the organs just to finally say, I can't do it. Heart said, I don't know what you was expecting from me. I gave you indication years ago that I wasn't going to be able to carry this load. You know, the spleen said, well, it's not me. I can't even utilize it, produce any insulin anymore. Things is going so bad for me. The liver starts to respond. Your bladder starts to respond. Your brain starts to get gibbering. I can't do eyes say I can't even focus anymore. Your hearing say I'm forgetting about it. There's too much going on here. Your senses or your smell is distorted. Everything now starts to react and to let you know, I'm overloaded here, buddy. I'm overloaded here. This is not what my function was. This is not how the Creator built me. He didn't put me inside of you for that. You're supposed to be getting rid of this, laying some of this stuff down, and now you got so much that we're hoarding. We're just, like, your body is just, now has just been a place that you just hoard all of these issues. And you don't lay them down. So it destroys you little by little, bit by bit. You know, a doctor cannot cure the disease of worry. He may put you on pills and stress-relieving pills, and he try to give you exercises to do. But his pills, they just doctor the symptoms, but not the cause of those symptoms. You hear what I'm saying? See, he can give tranquilizers, and he can put people from, keep people from exploding, but when the effect of the pill wears off, that tension still remains with you. The cause of all of that, it still remains. So he can give us sleeping pills, or he can help us forget for just a few hours by doping you up, but when you're awake, that problem is still there. That's just like you can drink it and get as drunk as you want to. When you sober up, that problem not only is still there, but now you're going to find that you've added on a few extra pounds. And you say, I didn't have this problem when I got started drinking. I didn't have this problem when I started doing whatever it is I was doing. But each time, it adds on a little bit more. You see, even a psychiatrist cannot cure your worry. Now, if he's honest, or she, if he or she is honest, they will be the first to admit this, that they cannot cure your weariness. They can probe into your subconscious mind and maybe dig out the reason. find, oh, he or she, and let me make sure I said that, but when they find whatever it is in your subconscious that they've had to dig out of you, then they don't know what to do with it. Unless he's a Christian, of course, then they don't know what to do with it. They can confront you with it little by little, as much as you can take at a time, which could take years and years, and you know, in the meantime, you're paying and paying. Now, if the doctor cannot cure it, and a psychiatrist cannot cure it, then is there any cure for your worry? Well, of course, yes. The Christian has within him a supernatural life. And this is very important to hear from the Spirit. You have a supernatural life inside of you. A life of worry is on the natural plane. That's nature. That's on a natural plane. That's where you live every day in the world. It's natural for people to worry, right? They say, well, of course you should be worried. Look what's going on. So that life of worry is on a natural plane. But a Christian, we as Christians, we're on a spiritual plane, my sisters and brothers. God has us separated. See, the believer is exhorted to be careful for nothing. That's what we were talking about yesterday, right? Be anxious for nothing. But God does not stop at that. What else he said? He said, he tells us how to get rid of our cares, how to get rid of our worries, how to get rid of our stress. Again, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We went over in the last broadcast and said, how do you get rid of it, minister? You get rid of it by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He said, let your requests be known, made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. God's formula cures all three senses. It cures the mental, the physical, and the spiritual. God's formula. No one without the peace of God can possibly get rid of his fears, his anxiety, his tensions, the frustrations, and worries. No one without the peace of God. See, the peace of God is not secured through the doctor's prescription. The peace of God is not secured through the psychiatrist's couch, but the only cure is prescribed in the Word of God by prayer. He said, in everything by prayer. That's what verse 6 said, right? Someone recently said, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Let me repeat that. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Now, hold on now. It's not W-E-E-K week, but it's W-E-A-K. 7 days without being fed the Word of God will make you W-E-A-K. You have no worry that you cannot take to God, no worry that you cannot take to God. You just go in prayer. You come to God not as a beggar, but as his child. We're all someone's child, correct? You don't run to them just begging, but you go to them with concern in your heart to let them know the concerns that you have, your requests. You go to them with thanksgiving for just being there for you as a loved one, as a parent. And you lay down all of your burdens. You just open up and tell them what all is going on. You cast your burdens on the Lord. You say, how do you do that, Minister Vaughn? You talk to him about it. Again, that's what prayer is. You put the burden on him and leave it there. He said, I don't want to bother God with this. I've heard people say that. Oh, this is such a small thing. I don't want to bother God with this. He's got other things to do. Who are you to tell him that he's wrong? He tells us to cast thy burdens on me. So again, we're not trusting him enough. We don't he's able to handle it. We don't really believe that he's able to see us through it. Put the burden on him and leave it there. And the first step the psychiatrists use is talk it out. Talk it out. They're going to want you to talk. You can't walk in the psychiatrist's office, and I don't care. You can't just lay on his couch and go to sleep and think that you're going to get any resolution. Why did you talk it out? We have someone better to talk to, though. Suppose there are two planks laid across the stream. One is sound and the other one is rotten. Now, if you attempt to walk on both the planks, you will certainly get wet because the rotten one is going to break, don't you think? Well, 1 Peter 5:7, as we're casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Now, do not bring out the rotten plank and try to help. This is why you fall, because we're always wanting to decide what, pick and choose what we're going to talk to him about in prayer. I'm not going to bother him with this. I'll just tell him about this. Rotten plank, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. That's why you get wet. That is why you wet your pillow with all the tears, all your cares on him. And when you have cast it there, then you got to trust God. Trust that he's big enough and he does not need your help. And about praise, let's talk about praise in our closing. In everything by prayer, verse 6 says, note the word everything, the small affair of life, just as well as the big and the important ones, whatever it is, everything. It is by attempting to handle the little things ourselves that we get into trouble. Nothing that troubles us is too trifling to bring to God. And that is the way to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. It may be even as small as, you know, God, you know, I need to get through these red lights, or God, I need to, you know, give me patience while I'm stuck at this red light, that I'm not rushing ahead when you're trying to hold me back from danger. Every little thing, we need to learn to praise God for everything. And to pray to him about everything. So we praise him for everything. We pray to him for everything. And then it says, with thanksgiving. Sing by prayer. We talked about the prayer and the praise. And supplication with thanksgiving. Right? Well, let your requests be made known unto the Lord with thanksgiving. See, we need to thank God for our past mercies. We all can think of just, and our past, we ain't got to look back too far. We're talking about at the beginning of this morning, your past mercies. Just waking you up and you're being in your right mind. And you probably didn't, and many of you didn't even say, thank you, Jesus, before you laid down last night. We need to thank God for our past mercies. We need to thank God of the memory of them will give us confidence, just knowing that we made it through some of the things that we made it through. Those memories should just build our confidence. You know, God appeared to Moses in a moment of weakness and fear. But God calmed his heart with these words. He said, am I not the Lord thy God, which led thee out of Egypt? And then Moses recalled the mighty wisdom and the power of God as he led that great host of people out of the bondage and out of the slavery. And it reassured Moses in everything with thanksgiving. Our past mercies should give us reassurance and confidence, because all things work together for good. Because you can be assured that this is the will of God concerning you. It is easy to trust God when there is no trouble. It's easy to talk about how you trust God when there is no trouble. But it's more needful when trouble comes, when trouble arises. And that's a continuous thing. We live in a troubled world right now. And nothing against the world, but the people of the world, the things that we're doing to the world. We are to inhabit the earth. And the things that we're doing to each other has made it a troubled place right now. So my sisters, my brothers, my friends, are you living a life of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving? And that's something that you're going to have to ask yourself. It is very simple. It's a very simple cure for your worries. It's a good medicine, and it has a sweet flavor. And the best thing, it never fails. It never fails. So go somewhere along with God and take God's care. First, by prayer, talk to him about your situation. Let your request be known unto God. And then next, try praising him. Just try praising him. Think of all the little everyday blessings that you take for granted, and you never even stop to say, thank you, Jesus. Just think about those for a minute. This will naturally lead you to the third step, with thanksgiving. So spend some time thanking God for all of the blessings he's given you in the past and has showered upon you right now. Your kids, your families, your protection, your homes, your vehicles, covering you when you was out there in the midst of alone. You could have been dead and gone, but you're not. You could have been locked in prison, but you're not. Someone could have got mad at what you did to them. You knew it was wrong. You know the stuff that you did was wrong. But God has covered you. God covered you. So my challenge for you tonight is to make sure, remember, you're held accountable for the word that you hear. Make sure that you try. And your self-examination of yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, am I living a life of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving? You know, you said, well, I don't want to stop doing all the things that I'm doing. I enjoy drinking. I enjoy doing what I'm doing. Let's just start one at a time. Put nothing before God. Put nothing before God. Say that. So in your self-inventory, it's not going to hurt you to check yourself out. Just check out you. Am I doing the best, being the best me I can be? And if your answer is, well, no, maybe I'm not in prayer. Maybe I'm not praising. Maybe I'm not giving thanks to God. Then take that very simple cure for wearing. Remember, it's a good medicine with a sweet flavor, and it never fails you. And again, I just remind you, make sure that you just go somewhere alone, talk to God. That's the first part of the cure. That's the prayer. Just talk to God. And let your requests be made known unto him. And then again, just try praising him. Just think about little everyday blessings that you take for granted, that you never stopped to even say thank you for. And then go into Thanksgiving, and that'll just lead you into Thanksgiving. As you go into Thanksgiving, just look around you. Look at your baby girls. Look at your family. Look how they've grown. Look how they've prospered. Look at your spouse. Look at your job. Giving you a lot. And he's still showering you right now with love, protection, understanding. We're going to continue tomorrow and talk about the consequences. We're going to talk about some of the peace of God, and we're going to talk about some of the consequences. You know, God is a forgiving God, and he's a loving God, and he's a merciful God. And that's why we pray to him. That's why we come to you, to teach you the word of God. Now, if you say I'm not in a line, I don't think I'm lined up. I don't think I'm ready. I don't even know how to present myself to God. Just first of all, you've got to invite him to come and live inside of you. If that's your time right now to do, it's not a long, hard thing. It's not a drawn-out thing. Whatever situation you're in, whatever you may be drinking right now. And he said, okay, you can come just as you are. Don't be waiting for any period till you get it together. It's not a guarantee that you're going to breathe long enough to get it together. Somebody stopped breathing within the last minute while we're sitting here on the broadcast, and they were not aware of it. They had plans and future for their future, but now they're into their eternity, and there's no coming back from it. They're there for eternity. Don't think that it's just all over. Eternity you're going to spend somewhere. And if you're not for sure that if you died right now, that you would wake up in eternity, will you just take a moment and repeat these words after me? God, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, for me. I believe that he died on the cross for me to remove my sin, that I may come home to you again. I accept you, Lord Jesus. I believe that you are the one and only God, and I confess with my heart that I'm a sinner. And I invite you now to come live inside of me. Dwell in my temple. May my spirit begin to connect with your spirit. Teach me how to pray. Teach me the things to pray for. I want to live a life of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. And amen. Woo. Well, if you just prayed that prayer, you are now a new creature in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are now a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. If you just prayed that prayer, will you do me the honor of just reaching out and sending me an email and saying, Minister Barr, I have just prayed that prayer to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You know what? I don't have a Bible, Minister. Well, I have a Bible, and I know where to get Bibles. I can send you a Bible. I'd be more than happy to send you a Bible, autograph the Bible, free of charge to you. Anything you need to get you started on your Christian walk. You said, I'm already on a walk. I kind of fell back, and I'm just trying to get started again. Just let us know how the ministry can help you. We're here for you. We are here for you. And just remember, you need to make sure that you get into a Bible teaching church. Every church that's out there is not teaching the Word of God, so don't be fooled. But get into a Bible teaching church. I'll be more than happy to pray for you, pray with you about where God wants you to go worship at. Don't get caught up in the money and all of that. You got to pay money to go to the strip club. You got to pay money to go to the bar. You got to pay money to go to the store to get something. So money is just, that's a commodity that we all have to use. In order for the churches to go, yes, they need to pay their lights and stuff too. So don't worry about that. You don't worry about what the people in the bars is going to do with your money when you get it. You may say, oh, they're overcharging me for this drink, but you still pay it. So let's not worry about the money factor. Don't let that get your eyes off of God. The enemy is going to try to trick you in any way he can to turn you around. But put on your big man up. Girls, get your mother's face on. Get your strong tower face on. And together, we can do this thing. Together, we can do this thing. That means when you're weak, I'll be there for you. Well, I'm weak. You got to be strong for me, sisters and brothers. Together, we can overcome all of these fears and worries and doubts. Oh, well, we've come to the end of another broadcast. I enjoy this so much. I pray that you do also. This is your host, Minister Von Dumas, here in San Antonio, Texas. And we will see you again on tomorrow night. Remember, we love you here. But the most important thing, God loves you more. And don't you forget to pray, give him praise, and be in thanksgiving. Amen. Bye-bye.